Well, good morning, Emmanuel. Well, this morning we are in the book of Psalms, and I start off by saying Time Magazine says we're living in an age of FOMO, F-O-M-O. You know what that is? Fear of missing out, fear of missing out. They say that many live with overbooked calendars and overspent bank accounts, overloaded emotions, overworked bodies, an overvalued need for the approval of others. There are many that live in a world of being overwhelmed when God is calling all of us to live to overflowing. Such is the life that is offered by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, he reminds us with these words, "I've come that you may have life, and that you may have it abundantly, to the fullest, until it overflows." And that's what I want for you. You know, a lot of Christians, I have found, tend to forget that. And to kind of walk around in life as though it were a glass half empty. I call that a theology of scarcity. Kind of going around thinking nothing will ever change. It's only going to get worse. A theology of scarcity. This morning I would have us look at life as a theology of abundance that evokes a surplus mindset that believes that God has more to give us than we will ever need. He's got more love to give us. He's got more grace to give us. He's got more time to give us. He's got more money and resources to give us than we will ever need. I think back when quite a number of years ago, I left the ministry for a brief time because my father had died, and I went to handle the estate of Kruger Poultry Farms back in Minnesota. Not that I like chickens that much, but I had to do it. And while I was there, they found out I was a preacher, and so I was given an assignment to western Minnesota, right near the North and South Dakota border, a place called, a little town called Holloway, maybe 100 people, 200 people there. They were all farmers, and they'd have their CBs out, and I'd be at 15 miles out of town. The preacher's coming. I couldn't get away with anything out there. And I'd get into town, they put me in the parsonage for the weekend, and every weekend, someone, one of the farmers, would invite me to their home for supper. Now, a farmer supper in the Midwest has absolutely nothing in common with a microwave dinner. It was a feast. And let me tell you, you had everything you could imagine that they would eat until the cow came home. Is that the expression? Something came to come. I'll tell you how good it was. At the end of the dinner, supper, the lady of the house would come and offer me a slice of pie. Not one pie. She had baked four pies. And being a preacher, she expected I would try all four of them so as not to hurt her feelings, if you know. Now, that was a factory of pies. That was a theology of surplus. And that is exactly the kind of God we have. We have a God who is a factory of pies. He makes more pies than we could ever eat. And what I'm trying to say is, we have a God that gives us more than we could ever have. In today's lesson, Psalm 23, we're looking at verse 5. The key verse is, "My cup runneth over." And that verse really being retranslated is, "You give me more than I can hold." Remember back in verse 1. You've all memorized the 23rd Psalm by now, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now that first verse, I shall not want, means he's giving me everything I need. So get this. Verse 1, David is saying, Lord, you're giving me everything I need. Verse 5, he's saying, you're giving me more than I need. Now my cup is running over. Now it's spilling out. Now it's overflowing. Now it's oozing out of every orifice of my body into the streets and into the yards and into the homes and into the lives of people all around me. What an amazing God. The cup, of course, is our life. David is telling me, I am not going to be overwhelmed anymore because I have a provider. I have a God who says, I am going to provide for you more than you can ever think or know. I'm a God who's going to give you more than you ever need because the cup overflows. And that's the kind of life Jesus is talking about constantly. And that's why I want you and me to have a life, a theology of abundance. That's why I want this church to have a culture of abundance and not scarcity, that God will provide. The only thing limiting what God's going to provide is the container. And the larger the container, the more we have a capacity to receive what God is going to give us, the more he can put in. And so he says this. He says, and this was back at the time when he was in the temple courts. It was the last day of the great festival. Most important day of all, in John chapter 7, on the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. I want you to know, this temple court was 500 yards long and 400 yards wide, and there were in excess of 50,000 people congregated on that special day there in the temple court. And Jesus stands up. And he shouts at the top of his voice to all the people. And this is what he has to say. If you are thirsty, come to me. And they all look around. If you are thirsty, come to me. For everyone who believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their lives, not rivulets, not streams, not brooks, but a Mississippi River flowing out of their lives into the lives of our community and our people. My cup runneth over. Anyone who believes in me. Now, the Greek word is pistoio. That's a very important word because that word believe does not mean what's in your head. Doesn't mean you access or assent that there is a God out there who can provide. It is a word that means your heart. You're clinging to. You're relying on. You're depending upon. Jesus said, if you really, 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 really depend on me, your life's not going to be overwhelmed. Your life's going to be overflowing. What's an overflowing life? It's filled with beyond capacity, with an endless supply of God's goodness. Well, that's what I want. That's all I've ever wanted for you people. That's all I've wanted for any of us. That you would come to see a God who can give you so much more than you can ever think or imagine. That you walk out of the confines of this building into a life assured that God will provide for your every need, and that he will care for you more than you could ever imagine or know. I hope this is the God you love and believe in. He's a God as none other. He's a God who has cared for us from day one. Day one, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, there was a God who had already ordained from infinity past that he would somehow right the wrong of sin which had destroyed the human race and separated it forever from God into eternal hell. And he says, I want these people back as my children. But he had to do so without compromising his belief. Heaven had to be perfect, and none of us were. And somehow a ransom had to be paid for our sin. Somehow there had to be someone on earth who would be able to the capabilities of dying for the sins of the world and overcoming that death. But there wasn't anyone who was sinless. There is no one who's without sin, the Bible tells us. We're conceived and born in sin, Scripture declares. And so God says, I will have to do it myself. And so God comes to earth in the God-man who is sinless by the name of Jesus Christ. And he comes on earth, and though he's without sin and doesn't need to die, he is plastered to the cross in order to take away, as he assumes, all the sins of every person who will ever live on earth. And when he died on that cross, it wasn't the physical suffering that he faced. It was the eternity in hell for every one of our sins that he was facing in those 3 hours. And when he rose from the dead on Easter morning, he proclaimed himself the victor over sin, over death, over the devil. And because he rose, we shall rise. And because we rise, we have a God who has given us the ability to become his forever children. If God's going to give us that resurrected life forever, will he not also give us all things? So how do we get such a life? That's where your outline comes in. 4 little points. First of all, I've been saying this ad nauseum, stay connected to Jesus every day. You may need a yo-yo to do it, I don't know. But it says in John 15, I am the vine and you're the branches. If you stay connected to me, you'll produce a lot of fruit, but you can't do anything without me. You see, the vitality of the fruit is the root. And if the fruit is not connected to the root, if the fruit is not connected to the vine, you can take a bunch of grapes with a little branch and put it over in the kitchen table, and after a while it just gets soggy and yucky, and pretty soon you have to throw it out because it's no longer connected to the vine, it's no longer connected to the root. Without God, we can do nothing. If we're trying to go it alone in this world, my goodness, in this day and age, very soon we're going to be overwhelmed. But if we're plugged into the power source, then we will be having a life that's overflowing. Now, how do we get connected? We know this. We already were there. A week or two ago, we said, we got to get back to the banqueting table. That banqueting table where you're the guest of honor, and the banqueting table that's set out there in the middle of a battlefield where all the enemies are. And on that banqueting table is the food that we need to eat. It's the food we need to eat morning and noon and at dinner time. We need to be doing this. Let my words remain in you, Jesus says. Now, how do you allow words to remain in us? We do it by constantly bringing it into us. We never forget it. We meditate upon them. We think about them. We pray about them. We get connected to Jesus every day. That's point number one. Point number two. By the way, each point gets harder. Wait till we get to number four. Point number two, stop complaining and start being grateful in your life. I don't know. Do you like people who complain all the time? I try to stay away from them myself. They don't even like themselves that much, I find. You know, science tells us something very interesting. That when you live a life of gratitude, serotonin is produced in your brain, dopamine. It produces oxytocin in your brain. Now, don't confuse that with OxyContin. I don't want any of you walking out of here saying, Pastor, trying to dispense a lot of OxyContin. I don't want any of that going on. Oxytocin. When a husband and wife are intimate, oxytocin. When a mother nurses her baby, the baby and the mother, oxytocin. When you pet your dog for 30 minutes, it releases oxytocin in the dog and in the person petting it. You want this. You want this hormone. You want this chemical in your life. God gives it to you. Now think how your attitude might change. If upon rising from the bed, remember last week I said I pinch myself when I get up in the morning. Remind myself that I'm flesh and blood and I need Jesus. Well, after I do that, the thing to do is to think of 10 things you're grateful for. Right away in the morning, 10 things you're grateful for. They don't have to be big, humongous things. They can be things like air. Thank you, Lord, I have air to breathe. Thank you, Lord, that I have a toothbrush. Thank you, I have a roof over my head. There are 10 of them. You say 10 of them and that gets you going. You're thankful, Colossians 2. Let your lives overflow, and that's the word, with thanksgiving for all that God has done. Number three, this is even harder. Stop comparing and start being content. Stop comparing and start being more content. Sometimes we tend to want to compare ourselves with other people. You know anybody like that? Does he live in your house? That compare ourselves with one another? You think when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, why weren't you more like your brother? Why weren't you more like your sister, your mother? No, Jesus isn't going to say anything like that. He's made you unique. He's made you one of a kind. He's made you exactly the way he wants you to be. You don't compare yourself with anybody else. The only one we compare ourselves is with what God wants us to be. It isn't easy. And the younger the people are, it seems like, I don't know what's going on today. I see people with their phones even now. I guess you're probably you're checking me to see if I'm doing the right scripture. But you're on your phones all the time. And I find myself a little bit on it. But some of the younger people are on nonstop. Well, I see some of the people that are on the Facebook. And I see they put pictures on Facebook of where they went, what they're wearing, what they're going to be doing, and what they just ate. So do I really care what they just ate? When I see a half-eaten pile of food from the Olive Garden sitting there, do I really want to look at that? Give me a break. Information overload. Well, I just got a text. I went to Starbucks, got myself a venti caramel frappuccino with extra drizzle. Whoopee-doo! I can't wait to hear that. Oh, boy. I'm just deprived. We do this all the time. We put ourselves out there, best face forward, put the rouge on just so people get the best impression of us. We haven't posted anything for more than an hour. We're going through withdrawals. And so we're back where we started. FOMO. FOMO. Fear of missing out. Just look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, that's okay. Now my little grandchildren clinging to my legs and they're 3 years old saying, look at me, Grandpa, look at me. That's cute. That's cute. But it's just plain dumb if you're 30. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Come on, get over yourself, why don't you, for a change. God says, I want you to stop griping. I want you to start being grateful. I want you to stop comparing and be content with where you are. Number four, it gets worse. Stop being so stingy. Start being generous. Now, I'm just not talking about money, although for a few of you, I need to have a talk. But I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about being generous about how you give out compliments. You know, one of the things we can do better at is giving a compliment out. Before the day goes by, I hope every one of you will compliment somebody. Before you get out of church this morning, compliment somebody on something. Some of us are so fearful if we compliment somebody, they won't compliment us back and we'll somehow lose out. Don't be so stingy in giving out compliments because God's Spirit is trying to get us to be more like Him. God wants us to be a giver, not just a soaker, not just a getter. And the more generous we are, the more God will be able to bless our generosity in every single area of our life. Remember this. A stingy planter will only reap a small crop. But anyone who gives generously will also reap generously because God loves a cheerful giver. So if anyone gives anything away, this is what God says. And listen to all the yous in this. You can be sure that God is able to bless you with all grace so that in all things, at all times, you will always have all you need, and you'll also overflow so you can give to every good work. That's a surplus mentality. That's a direct promise from God. You can never outgive God. And in Luke 6:38, it says, if you give, you'll receive back. Your gift will be returned to you in full measure, packed down and shaken. Now notice this. And running over. Isn't that what we just heard in Psalm 23, verse 5? My cup runneth over. It's the overflowing life that's being talked about here. And it says, whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it's to be used in the measure that will be given back to you. Now, you got a choice. our container for giving to others can be real small. That we kind of hang on to stuff, a real small giving container. Here, a little bit here, a little bit here. And you're never really going to get the blessings from God because he cannot refill much. Because it's too small a container. But if your faith expands so that your container for giving becomes enlarged, then God, who has everything, can pour things in. And he'll pour things in until it's overflowing and it just bubbles and oozes out of our every place to, into the world around us. That's the life that comes when we feast on the banquet table of Jesus Christ. When we come to see him as the Lord. And that final little verse I want to show you, Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Because we are called on in this psalm to move from a life of being overwhelmed to having a life that is overflowing by the grace of God. And in his name, amen. Let's rise and join together in prayer. Oh, dear God, I want to learn to trust you. I give you my overwhelmed life and ask you to give me an overflowing life. Help me to live with a theology of abundance because you're a good God and you want what's best for me. Heavenly Father, we're all aware of the new realities because of the coronavirus scare. Allow us, as we are your people, to offer hope and courage, even as we minister in this situation in the days and weeks ahead. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the way in which you're working in the life of John and Jane Halaki and family as he seeks employment and as he sees the response from this congregation. We thank you, Lord, for the grants that have been given by the CNH district of our church for 2 months' worth of income. Continue to bless him as he seeks out his new career path. Be with also those who are having health issues. Be with our shut-ins. And Heavenly Father, all of our other prayers we bring before you. Amen.